Hello, thanks for joining me. I'm Veronica Scaresbrig. Well, he started out on the 12th of December 2006 and has only just stopped walking, covering 15,259 kilometres on foot. That's from Capo Branco in Brazil to Cap Finisterre in Spain. His name is Samuel Clear, and he's due back in Australia this weekend in time for the World Youth Day celebrations. Travelling down under more or less at the same time as Pope Benedict XVI, who leaves Castel Gandolfo, where he's currently staying, on Saturday 12th of July. But getting back to Sam, if you wish to find out more about him, why he decided to walk all that way, and what happened to him along the way, do stay tuned, as in a few moments I'll be sharing with you a conversation I enjoyed with him when he passed through Rome.
I've walked all the way from Brazil to Rome, minus a quick trip on the train through Siberia, and I'm walking around the world praying for the unity of Christians.
How did this come about?
I'm a mechanical engineer, but I've been working for the last 5 years in Australia as a missionary with youth, and in that time become very aware of the broken church, the disunity.
You say you're a missionary. What does that mean?
I was working with Youth Mission Team Australia.
As a layperson,
as a lay missionary, full-time. 2 years as a volunteer and then 3 years as a paid manager with the team. And we work with high school students and university students, basically looking at many different problems from self-image, self-esteem, relationships, leadership issues, suicide prevention. Many different questions, but the answer is always the same, leading them towards Christ. So effectively working as an evangelist.
You were doing this side to side with being a mechanical engineer?
No. I haven't been a mechanical engineer since I've never really. I graduated from university and felt a calling to actually put my faith into action, which I wasn't doing while I was at university. And it led me to Youth Mission Team Australia. And then from there, I never went back. I intended to only do 1 year as a missionary. But once there, I found it difficult to leave. I really got a great sense of satisfaction in working as a missionary and in stretching myself. I was never a people person. I grew up on a very large farm in Australia, and I was used to wide open spaces and cows and sheep. So to be working so closely with young people, with teenagers, was a big reality jolt. In seeing how those lives were being transformed and in seeing people develop a prayer life, in seeing people develop a relationship with Christ and seeing those peripheral problems dissipate was phenomenal. I didn't want to go back to engineering.
How do you do that? I mean, you presumably you support yourself.
As I walk?
No, in Australia? In Australia?
No, it's an organisation. It's Australia's largest youth organisation. We have support from dioceses, from the archbishops. We do a fair bit of fundraising as well throughout the year. And the youth mission team members actually get paid employment on Mondays and Tuesdays. And then the money they earn from that goes into the common account to pay for our expenses. And then from Wednesday through to Sunday, we're working in high schools, in colleges, in universities, and in parishes, in churches, drawing the young people further along in their faith walk, depending on who we're meeting with, obviously, and on the age group we're working with.
So this faith walk you've been on, you decided to go on it by yourself?
Yeah, initially I was... Well, to begin with, what happened was I read a book by Patrick Madrid, an American author. He had compiled a book of 11 testimonies of men and women from a Protestant, Pentecostal or evangelical background who had become Catholic. And I was reading it from a personal faith-building perspective, just as an exercise of getting to know, learning a little bit more about the church. What hit me, though, was that an evangelical minister and a Pentecostal person were, when they became Catholic, they lost their friends and family. Their friends and family disowned them because they felt that they had disowned Christ by becoming Catholic. Now, in that moment, it was as though I caught a glimpse of Christ's pain at the broken church. and I could not let it rest, and it kept eating at me, and it took over. That broken church, the body of Christ, is broken, as though Christ has been crucified again. And I couldn't do anything. As an engineer, I like to do things. I like to see a problem, and I like to try and solve it. And I kept praying about it, and in the end, came to the conclusion that I couldn't do anything. And I actually prayed that. I said, God, love to help you, but I can't. Sorry, mate, you're on your own. I can't help you. And then once I'd shut up, I just felt the Lord say, you know, Sam, you're right, you can't fix it, but I can. I need you to pray. So that's where it began from. And I in the end, sold everything I owned. I resigned from work with Youth Mission Team Australia. I'll actually be returning there when I finish the walk. But I sold what I had, what I could sell, what people wanted. I had a Land Rover Discovery and a Suzuki GSX-R 1100 motorbike. So I sold both of those, and I spent a year planning this. And in that time was in communication with my Archbishop, with the manager of the National Director of Youth Mission Team Australia, with a few other people. We put the plan together, and I got the money together and started walking. So self-funded. Unfortunately, when I often knock, I thought this would happen, and it has happened. When you knock on the door, the first thing many people ask is, what do you want? And if I did happen to require money, then it detracts from the call to pray for unity. So I'm walking and praying for unity and extending that invitation everywhere I go. I stop in Catholic churches, Orthodox churches. I stop and meet evangelicals, Protestants, Pentecostals, any person who calls himself Christian, and extend the invitation to continue Christ's prayer from John 17, that we would be united completely so that the world would see the Father's love through our unity. So we're not just talking theological unity, we're talking social unity as well. So in truth and in love.
Can I interrupt your tale? You grew up a Catholic?
Yes.
So anyway, go ahead. So you decided to start in Brazil. Why?
Look, there's no particular reason for the route that I'm taking other than it's around the world. I started on one side of the Atlantic Ocean and I'll finish on the other side of the Atlantic Ocean.
Which is where?
In Spain. Mm-hmm. So began in Brazil, finished in Spain. And it's simply a matter of the walk is a means of carrying the prayer. And to a point, it's attention getting. The walk and walking 30 to 50 kilometres a day, and at times through some pretty dangerous countries, coming through Central America, I was often held at gunpoint and knife point, and it wasn't a really pretty place. The reason for it was to bring attention to unity and the need to pray for unity and the consequences of a unified church.
Why do you think it's so important?
Because the unity of the church witnesses Christ's love to the world. Plus, a unified church is also on a social aspect, particularly walking through South and Central America. I was offered hospitality by men and women who lived under sheets of tin, and I actually slept there next to them under their sheets of tin. And then at other times I've stayed with Christians who aren't sleeping under sheets of tin. They are sleeping very well, and a couple of cars in the garage. And you know, there's a massive gap socially between Christians in the world. So to be united with one another on that social aspect and theologically is to be Christ to one another. And none of us are ever going to reach perfection in life, but we are all called to continue to walk towards it. And unity, to be united, is how we do that. And it's what Christ implored of us. It was one of his final prayers, and St. Paul as well.
How many people do you think understood your message? Do you think it was the people under sheets of tin or people with two cars in their garage?
I think everyone does. I think that all people do understand from different perspectives.
Was there ever a moment when you felt you wanted to give up?
No, there haven't been times when I wanted to give up. There have been times when I wanted to be somewhere else. You know, quite seriously, when you're looking down the barrel of a loaded shotgun, I didn't want to be there, looking down the barrel of a loaded shotgun and being held at knife point and walking along in Canada at minus 33 degrees Celsius or in Brazil at plus 47 degrees Celsius. I didn't want to be there in that moment, but I never wanted to go home. I just wanted to finish the day or be elsewhere.
Come wind or rain.
Yeah, I've seen pretty much every type of weather that we can have, from extremely hot, dry days, humid days. I've seen a tornado. I clipped a hurricane in, Nicaragua. I've been in ground blizzards, thunderstorms, everything, fog. Yes, I change my gear about every 6 months, so I have, at the moment, I have more summery gear. This is not what I was wearing while I was in Canada, Russia, Belarus. I was more like a snowman. I was puffed up with lots of gear and kept warm. Just keep walking, keep praying. And it makes the prayer very real. It's about as basic as you can get, prayer. But it is our fundamental call, and it is the foundation of not just unity, but our Christian walk. And that's where I had to start, because I really didn't have anything else to offer. I'm not theologically trained. I'm not philosophically trained. I don't have strong connections outside of the Catholic Church. My role is prayer. And it gripped me so much. I guess, look, when I became aware of the broken church, it was like standing at a car accident where there are bodies lying around. It's difficult to simply stand there and watch. They're sort of compelled into action.
We talked about the bits at gunpoint, but
yeah, yeah.
There's the other side of the coin, isn't there?
There is. Having grown up on the farm and spent a lot of time out on the mountains behind our farm, I really do enjoy the outdoors. And the idea of walking around the world, for me, perhaps isn't as big a step as it would be for someone who grew up in the suburbs in an apartment, in a block of flats. I thoroughly enjoyed walking across the Grand Savannah in Venezuela, up along the beaches of Costa Rica, and through Wyoming in the United States. You know, that was, and even here in Italy, coming down through Tuscany. You know, they are, and I've seen three wolves, which apparently many of the locals have never seen a wolf in their life. In Wyoming, I saw a mountain lion, a cougar. I saw a puma in Venezuela. I see a lot, because I'm walking quietly and often along country roads, I see a lot that even the people who live there don't see. So there's a real, I don't know if it's a moment of ecstatic joy, but it's a really peaceful joy, a Franciscan moment, if you will.
You were listening there to Samuel Clear, who's due back in Australia in time for World Youth Day celebrations in Sydney next week. Thanks for listening. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.